In the name of Jesus. She was a young girl, raised in a Christian home, had a good mom and dad and brothers and sisters, grew up as many young girls do, grew into a young woman, met a nice young man that treated her, well, a lot like her dad, respected her, honored her, wanted to care for her. This young man one day popped the question, something a lot of young ladies, I think, look forward to and dream about. And they got married, had kids of their own. They established a home. They worked hard. They had ups and downs. Finances were often tight. Sometimes there wasn't always enough food in the cupboard, but miracle of all miracles, it worked out. Nobody starved to death. Over the years, their children grew. Their children, in turn, took wives and husbands of their own. And this young lady became a wise older lady, became a mentor to many others. She worked diligently in her church, came faithfully to hear the word of God, her husband as well, until one day, suddenly, he fell asleep with Jesus. That rocked her to her very core, as death does all of us. The death of a spouse, the death of a loved one, an accident that happens, the shock of it initially is enough to just suck the wind right out of your sails, knock you back on your butt, and make you think that this is it. There's no hope. But yet she soldiered on, continued to hear God's word, continued to serve friends and family. And she grew, gray hair by gray hair, maybe a few pounds here or there, as comes with age. Then one day she got a little older. She couldn't drive anymore. And she had to sell her car. And then one day she couldn't live at home anymore. Cooking meals and doing dishes and laundry was just a little too much. And that was tough on her because she'd always been the type of woman that her dad raised her to be. A hard worker, you know what I mean? And so she went to go live in a very nice place with people that took care of her. Son asked her, what would you like to bring with you where you're moving to? And she said, I only need two things. I need my Bible, and I need my devotions. So they brought most of the other stuff from the house and moved in, and during her course of time there, her health continued to deteriorate, which is so often to happen. Do you know? Have you experienced that yourself? Your health declines, you have falls, you have bumps, you have bruises, you have, boy, when you're young, you just don't get it. But as you get older, you see it and you feel it. And she saw it and felt it, but she remained firm and vibrant in the faith. She remained a virgin with oil in her lamp. How's your lamp? What do you know? What is it that you trust in? The parable today, there are 10 virgins preparing now for a wedding. I could go on about all the cultural traditions at the time, but long story short, the bridegroom is going to come. He's going to come one day, and the bridegroom is your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And one day he will come for you. Don't know the age. Don't know where you'll be at in your life, whether you'll be in the car, on the road, whether you'll be in your own bed, whether it'll be in the hospital. Don't know the cause. But he knows. He knows the sin that attacks you day in, day out. He knows not only your sinful thoughts, he knows all those little things swimming around in your bloodstream. The doctor says cholesterol's not good in your bloodstream. I guess I got to work on that. But he knows. He knows your needs and he well provides them because he is the Lord of life himself. You see, in our day and age, in our postmodern age, we are so encumbered. We are so just full of this concept of knowledge and how much we should know, and it's no different than people who have come before us. It's gone by different names and heresies. Gnosticism, the belief that your growth in knowledge and understanding of this world will get you closer to God, and that if you really know yourself, then you can overcome anything, and all of that, well, it's a bunch of you know what. Because ultimately what it comes down to is who knows you. Whose are you? And every time I go home at Thanksgiving or Christmas, or if we're able to get away during other times of the year, and I see and meet all the family, and it makes me think of all those who have come before. It makes me think of all those who have worked so diligently to provide homes and worked their fingers to the bone to make sure their kids had shoes and clothes and that there was food in the cupboards, and it makes me feel very humble and very thankful, which I think is what Thanksgiving is about, right? To recognize how much we do have. To recognize how much we have been blessed. And to recognize that what is yet to come will certainly be. Meaning, death awaits. When you're a parent, you think about that. You know your kids are going to die someday. You hope you don't live to see it, but you might. You hope that you might just close your eyes in peaceful sleep and not have to suffer, but God doesn't promise that either. You hope you don't have to deal with things that'll suck the wind out of your sails and knock you flat on your butt, but you might. And in the midst of all that, you know one thing. You know that there is one who has come for you and claimed you, rescued you from sin, death, and the devil, redeemed you, bought you back, and not with gold or silver, not with mountains of Trump cash or capital or anything like that. He did it with his own blood on the cross. Your Savior claimed you by dying for you. And in your baptism wrote your name in his family tree so that you're invited to that family reunion that is yet to come. You're invited, and you don't have to worry about what casserole you're going to bring and what dessert you're going to bake, and you don't have to worry that there'll be bad ones there either. It'll all be good. Because he's done that for you. And he says that just as he has died and risen again, so shall you. And so he gives you oil to keep your lamp burning. And that oil, quite simply, is just faith. It's simple faith. It's simple faith that you are his and that he knows you. And that one day when death comes, one day when he returns, as we confess in the creed, that judgment day, the separation of the sheep and the goats, of those who have oil and those who don't, because there is a hell, folks, and there is an eternity that awaits of pure punishment and pain for those who have no oil, who have no faith, who reject those things, who live for themselves selfishly. And that's why we need to check ourselves. Check ourselves to see what we know, where we place our faith and our trust, and more importantly, remind ourselves and receive the gifts from the one who knows us. That gal I told you about, her name was Wilma Debbin. She went to be with our Lord here about 2:00 this morning. Got a phone call from her son. And every time a member dies of our congregation, or sometimes even just one of your family, and I see you grieving, it rips just a little piece out of me. Her son talked to her about 10:00 last night, and she had been moved over to Mount Carmel in Kearney from the facility where she was. And he asked her again, "Mom, what do you want me to bring over to you tomorrow? I'm going to come over after I go to church." She said the same thing she always said, "Just bring me my Bible, bring me my devotions." The Lord saw fit to take her to be with him, and for that I give thanks. I give thanks. And I give thanks for you here today, for you who are connected as well to this man who's conquered the grave, who's conquered death, and who on Judgment Day when it comes, you won't have to fear because he stands for you. So keep that oil in your lamps Can you do that? Keep your lamps full. Keep hearing that word. Keep receiving his gifts. And when trouble comes your way, and it will, and when death comes your way, and it will, you're in good hands, for your Lord knows you, and he loves you. Your future is in his hands, and it's good. In the name of Jesus.